We'll call to order the March 3rd edition of the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission. We will have roll call, please.
Cowser?
Present.
Donaldson?
Present.
Miller? Wendt?
Here.
Brothers?
Here.
Beal?
Here.
Smith, absent.
We've all got a copy of the agenda. Are there any additions or changes to note? Seeing none, we'll approve the agenda. Moving on to approval of minutes. For the December 2nd, 2013 draft minutes, which we have not approved until now because we didn't have enough, we didn't have a quorum of the people that were at that meeting. So, do I hear a motion to approve that?
I move to approve the minutes for December 2nd, 2013.
All in favor?
Aye.
And approval of the February 3rd, 2014 minutes. A copy of those was provided to everyone. Are there any additions or corrections to that? Seeing none, everyone in favor of approving the February 3rd minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Close. Now is the time for public comment of anyone that is in the audience that would like to comment on something that is not an item on the agenda, something other than just something you'd like to address tonight. Is there anyone here who would like to come to the podium and address any matters not scheduled to be heard tonight? Seeing none, we'll move on to table business, which is the Natty subdivision. I'm guessing there's no new information there. How long can that be tabled? Indefinitely? So we'll just keep seeing it. Moving on to number seven, old business. Any? So number eight, new business. Welcome. We're up to 8.1 CUP 01-14 Prairie Rivers of Iowa conditional use permit. Could we have our staff presentation, please?
Good evening. Again, this is regarding CUP 01 of 14, also known as the Prairie Rivers conditional use permit request. Property owner Cleo's Garden LLC. For property located in the northwest quarter, the northeast corner, Washington Township, along Highway 69. This site was the former nursery of Ames Nursery or Cafferty Nursery. The size of the area is 12 gross acres. Should be noted that in the staff report we had only listed one parcel identification number, but in reality there's two parcel identification numbers. We'll look closer at that. But both are to be included in this request. A1 agricultural zoning, and the property is currently classified as commercial, as it contains facilities for, again, former nursery. And Ames is the city within two miles. Here you can see the surrounding property owner map that was mailed to all surrounding property owners within a quarter mile of the proposal, which is there highlighted in red. And there you can see the two parcels that are included in the conditional use permit, the one large rectangle and the small square that's inside. The small square is approximately 1 acre. Request is for a conditional use permit to allow for an educational training and demonstration area for the growing and distribution of locally grown fruits and vegetables as well as other Iowa-grown products. They would utilize existing greenhouses and agricultural grounds to demonstrate growing opportunities and educate growers in new and evolving growing and pro-irrigation techniques. They may also in the future utilize those structures to help aggregate regionally grown produce into larger groupings to allow for enhanced processing and wholesale marketing. They would also use existing buildings for their administrative offices. The application materials which you were provided in your packet details exactly how each structure would be used. They anticipate the staff would consist of approximately 10 to 15 individuals, either as full-time, part-time, seasonal, or intern staff. Again, these are the standards of approval that we look at fairly frequently in regards to conditional use permits. We look at compatibility, transition traffic, parking and loading, signs and lighting, environmental protection, and then the just general standards of approval that we look at with all requests. Staff analysis of those standards of approval noted that no new buildings are proposed for this request, and all existing buildings have been in existence or for a similar use since at least 1958 or sooner. The property is surrounded by agricultural land. Ingress and egress is provided via the existing drive on Highway 69. This provides suitable flow for the amount of traffic the uses on this property may generate. The site plan shows approximately 24 parking spaces along the south side of the property and another 7 spaces along existing buildings. The plans also show adequate area for accessible spaces in accordance with the ordinance and American Disabilities Act requirements. The proposed use should have little, if any, impact on environmental resources in the area beyond which is already permitted on the site. Additionally, the mission of Prairie Rivers RC&D itself fosters environmental sustainability and stewardship of the land both on the property and throughout the region. Notification letters were mailed to surrounding property owners on the 26th, and legal notifications were published on the 27th. We have yet to receive any comments from those notifications. Staff only noted one recommendation for a condition of approval, just that all required accessible spaces be marked on each site. It's just kind of a general one that we list on all conditional use permits. With that, I leave you with the following 4 alternatives. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Number one is normally approval, but in this case, it looks like it's a conditional approval is number one and approval.
Handicap space is probably the condition, right?
Yep.
Okay, anybody have any questions for staff? Wonderful. Is the applicant present tonight? Would you like to come to the podium and give your name and address and present any information?
So I'm Penny Brown-Huber. I am the Executive Director of Prairie Rivers of Iowa. 2402 South Duff Avenue in Ames is our current office. So. I think the materials have been pretty complete. We currently are housed at the DNR State Forest Nursery. And this would be sort of moving, I guess it's maybe a mile south of where we're at right now. So.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions? This is a for-profit business?
A not-for-profit. We're a 501c3 educational charitable organization.
So you might entertain schools or?
Yep. We're responsible for the school gardens right now in Ames. That's one of our projects. We do business planning training for niche farmers. We build log cabins in county parks around the state. Really work on natural resource issues. We're helping facilitate some of the work on the Squaw Creek Watershed project right now. So, mostly educational focused is what we are. So.
Have any further questions? I'd entertain a motion.
I would move that we use number one up there, that we, the only condition being that the handicap parking spaces are noted.
Oh, that's right.
The public comment.
Oh, just in case. You're right. Is there anyone who would like to give public comment as to this agenda item? Seeing none, is there a second to the motion?
A second.
Roll call. Brothers?
Yes.
Donaldson?
Yes.
Couser?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Wendt?
Yes. Yes.
Miller? The item carries. Congratulations. Sounds like a wonderful project. We are moving on now to item 8.2, CUP 02-14. Oh, goodness. Wolf School conditional use permit. Could we have staff presentation, please?
That's a lot easier than I had asked Scott again. It is Wolf Cool. This is an application for conditional use permit processed as an agricultural line storage fill and draw operation for purposes of reducing the moisture content of lime slurry. That's directly taken from the table of conditional uses from the Code of Ordinances. The proposal details were outlined in the staff report, but just in summary, the site proposes a lime storage area surrounded by a berm along with a laydown area that will be used for drying the lime. It's approximately 3 acres in size. And then along with that, there would be a 7,500 square foot building that would be dual purpose for storage of the lime and equipment as well. Access is proposed using the existing drive along 190th. And the site in total, the first year of operation will contain 150,000 tons of lime and then 28,000 tons of lime each year thereafter. The first year they have to significantly ramp up the operation to get the ponds drawn down, the lime out of the ponds, and then there'll be maintenance from there forth. I did also attach the staff report a copy of the council action form from the City of Ames that went into detail as to the contract that is in place between the applicant and the City of Ames for this type of use. The site location is to the northeast of the City of Ames, within 2 miles of the City of Ames, along 190th and Interstate 35, right on the southwest corner of that intersection. You see those properties in orange are those that received notice of tonight's meeting. The hatched in area, yellow hatch, are the two skinny parcels, the two parcels that are proposed for the use. Are well aware of the standards for approval. Those have been covered many times with conditional use permits. This is subject to those same 6 standards for approval. And I'll be glad to answer any questions. The staff report went through each one in pretty much detail, but all standards for approval have been satisfied, along with the additional 5 criteria that the Board of Adjustment ultimately has to agree with Planning and Zoning Commission say all of these have been satisfied in order to grant a conditional use permit. And again, as Ryan just said, the burden of persuasion does rest with the applicant. This is a site plan that was submitted by the applicant. It is kind of difficult to see there, but you can get the gist. The heavier lines on the right-hand side of the screen are the berm. Within that is the area that the line will be placed for drying. If you go... I hope we didn't bring our pointer. Right here, where I put the cursor. This is the building right in here, the proposed building. And then this is an existing drive that access would be taken. Are there any questions on the site plan before I go off that slide?
In the pictures, there was a hoop building.
Right. Mm-hmm. There is not. That's their existing operation.
Oh.
Well, this is the proposed 7,500 square foot building, and then this is the proposed area for the drawing. Those pictures were submitted by the applicant's representative, Mr. Renault, and they're to represent the type of uses that would be occurring out here based on their current operation. We did run this through interagency review as normal. The only comments we received were from the county engineer, Darren Moon. He did note that he stated, "I do not have any issues with the haul route, but I do not show anything submitted for a driveway permit yet. But there is an existing drive, so we will not need one unless they need to widen it." And then again, notification letters, as in the last case, went out on February 26th, and legal notices were published on February 27th. We did get a phone call today from Larry Coos, and he did indicate via just phone. He owns 120 acres just west of the site and wanted to make sure the following is known. Quote, he is in favor of the proposal, unquote. And that is the only commentary we've received. And these are your alternatives, standard order, because there are no conditions for approval attached to this, recommended for the Planning and Zoning Commission. So first, you may recommend approval. You can turn them. Recommend approval to the plan or Board of Adjustment. You may recommend conditional approval, you may recommend denial, or lastly, you may remand it back to staff, and we'll bring it back forward for the April meeting. Just these were the pictures that were in the staff report, and so just so you could see them maybe a larger scale, just example of the mixing, and then what it looks like with the stockpile and the shelter, and then when it's drying. And this is, what did you say, Scott, half an acre? So the proposed is 3 acres in size. Are there any questions?
Questions for Leanne?
I have a question. I can't find it right now, but when I read through this before, I noticed that they said that there were no plans to have restroom facilities on site.
Correct.
And that they planned to have about 4 employees on site.
Correct. And that would be good to ask the applicant for clarification. I'm assuming they would do a porta potty if they would have some sort of facility on site. But this time, no septic systems are permitted, or requested nor permitted. And I do have to apologize. I started out by having a cough drop in my mouth. I've been speaking a lot today, and my voice is kind of being rough. So, I'm sorry.
Well, Krishna, where is the lime? Where's it coming from? And I guess more specifically, my question is about the traffic getting the lime, the 150,000 tons or whatever, for that first year. How is that traffic routed? Where's it coming from, and how does it get to that location?
The existing site, and I think, will the ponds remain where they are with the new wastewater plant? Okay. The existing sites are on 13th Street, and if you know where the softball and baseball complexes are on 13th Street, if you go down the hill under the floodplain, to the south of 13th Street is where the lime ponds are currently. So the haul route would come out onto 13th Street, go to Dayton, go north, and keep on north till 190th, and there's a three-way stop at 190th. Turn east on 190th till the entrance right before the interstate. So similar route to where the trucks are going for Martin Marietta, and as stated in the staff report, majority of the average daily count on that Dayton Road are probably associated with Martin Marietta, with their haul route.
I just know how busy I drive that every day, going across 13th. So I'm wondering how many trucks. I mean, how much traffic is that going to, or how much is that going to increase traffic? Are there the number of trucks already there going to a different location, and how much is this going to increase that traffic? If the ponds are already there,
and there's already an existing location.
They are going to a nearby site, and perhaps Scott can answer that when he comes up.
Okay.
But based on the size of the trucks that are proposed that carry 24 tons each, there'll be 6,000 truckloads that first year to get that 150,000 out, and then in subsequent years, 1,000 trucks. And I just, assuming 300 work days a year, taking out some Saturdays, or some Sundays, leaving some Saturdays and taking out holidays, I just was a number that was easy for the math, primarily. There could be up to 20 additional trucks during that year one, along Dayton onto 190th. And then that drops down significantly to 3 to 4 at the subsequent years.
I'm going to ask that question when they come up, because I don't further clarification related to if you're using that 300 days a year, is that operations for drying that can go on during this time? Yeah.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Are those operations for drying lime, is that something that can happen during this time of year? So it may be a significantly lower number than 300, and it may significantly increase that daily truck fill.
Did we have any comment? Is it Margaret that's saying it would help? Was there any comment from her regarding the going back to the restroom question? And I don't remember anything in our rules regarding anything of that nature. Is there?
We don't have anything that requires installation of bathroom. No. We do. We have not adequately safeguard the health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in adjoining or surrounding property. But that'll be up to the commission to reach that conclusion that the need for a septic system would fall under that. There's nothing in our regulations that requires installation of a septic system. Or a restroom, and then the associated septic system.
Question for Leanne at this time. Seeing none, is Mr. Wolkel present, and would you like to present your application? Please come to the podium, state your name and address.
Yes, good evening. Lee Wolfkuhl, Wolfkuhl Injection and Pumping, the owner. Address is 27657 Highway 52 North, New Vienna, Iowa, 52065.
Do you have anything to add?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask some questions. As far as the trucks coming out, we are currently taking to the north and northeast as of right now. It would be nothing different than the last 5 years we've been out. Half the loads usually go to the north and the other half go to the south, roughly. It just depends on the land application time of year. As far as I think Susan was asking, or somebody was asking, the loads we would be drying down in the summertime, the loads would always constantly be coming in for that first 300 days. Then after that, it would be in kind of like in quarters. When the lagoons fill up, it takes 3 months to dewater to get the surface water off. Then we dig them out and take them out. And I also should advise that we will be taking the farmer's ground when it is frozen like it is now, or in fall when application is deemed suitable, so they don't like compaction. Other than that, just to keep the operation going, that's why we decided to go with a stockpile there and dry it down for further use. So it could be only 100,000 tons going out there. It just depends on the weather and timing. As far as the restrooms, we've been around for the last 5 years. We haven't had any restrooms down there. When the guys go, we usually go to lunch, and then they take their break then. Or they need to go, and any other time, these are just run to a nearby gas station.
And my guess is that so far all your employees are male.
Yeah. I'm a wife, but yeah.
Is there any impact from the
concentrated lime, a concentrated amount of lime in one location on the land itself? I mean, obviously it's an agricultural product that's applied all the time, but in that quantity?
No, the ground that I'm plowing it on, we have taken the black dirt off and burned that up. So later on, if we want to farm it, all we'd have to do is put the black dirt back down. The lime, it doesn't leach into the ground. It's more or less DNR wants us to contain the runoff. So say if we got 3 inches of rain, they just wanted to make sure that it didn't spread out, so they asked me to firm it up. And Dennis with the DNR is kind of the guy, I forget what his last name is, but he's the one that told me what to go. More or less out of the floodplain and bermed around it.
Is there a DNR permit required?
Not a permit. It's just a lot
advice.
Of common sense that goes
okay.
with it. And I built that berm to at the beginning, until they found out how large of a scale this was, it was kind of all right. They just assumed what I've been doing is what we were going to carry on. But this is on a larger scale just to get... There's a lagoon at the plant that's been sitting there for 40 years, and they've never cleaned it out. Well, since they got the new water plant coming in, they want to get a bunch out to make another pond for the new water plant. So that's the reason there's so much the first year, this year. And then after that, it'd be the same as we've been doing for the last 5 years.
To what degree is it done already?
Sorry?
The site. What percentage of completion are you at right now?
I got the berm built just to more or less contain it. So we did that right before the frost. Past December. I don't remember the exact date. And we, probably a couple hundred loads are only sitting out there right as we speak right now.
Okay. And then, I mean, do you view this as a permanent installation? Like, what's the lifespan of this facility?
It'll be 5 to 6 years is what we're planning. Now, if everybody's happy with it and it carries on, it works out for the best interest of everybody, we could possibly keep on doing it.
Thanks.
Basically, your company has the contract with the city of Ames to do that.
Four or 5 years.
Yeah, so that's why it's that time
Correct.
Frame. Right.
Yeah. And to keep the project moving forward to get that much tonnage out there fast, because you just cannot spread that much material that
right.
and get it moved that fast.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to go with stockpiling. And the other thing, when you dry, every 3 semi loads is dried down into 1 semi load.
Right.
Once you get it to 80% solid.
Right.
Going out, the material going out later on won't be as much as comfortable.
Right, and dried down. I farm, so I can relate to it.
Yeah, and we've been taking it out on a lot of farms all over within a 10-mile radius of here, even some from North Carolina.
I've got one more.
Sure.
What happens when your contract is done?
I'm hoping the city renews.
What happens when they're done? You know what? When its useful life is up.
That site's no longer in use.
When it's no longer appropriate.
When the lime's not necessary anymore. So I'm hoping that the city renews with me again, because the lagoon that we're currently cleaning out, we're only cleaning a third of it out. It's not the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there is more lime there, and they will have lime coming every year. And even if I don't have the contract in the years to come, if they needed a place to stockpile, that would be a spot to go to. If we can't get it on the farm field. Because right now, if you take it on the farm field and you try to find spots, most of the time they're in grass waterways. You're putting yourself at more of a risk if there was a downfall. So it's just, over the last 5 years, I've just had problems finding the right areas. So that's the reason we ended up purchasing this ground.
Conversion back to agricultural production takes a bulldozer, and that's about it? I mean.
Yeah, to get back to ag ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the pad and the building wouldn't be, I mean, that's going to be permanent, but as far as the berm, you know, there's 4 foot of dirt bermed up all the way around it right now.
Questions?
I'm going to go back to the traffic, because you pointed out that you only kind of, I want to make sure I understand that you clear out the lagoons only during certain times of the year because of weather permitting, is that?
Correct. Like as of right now, we've been out here all winter, taking out and spreading when the temperatures are decent. We can't do anything like it's below 10 degrees efficiently, so we usually shut it off. It's usually in between 10 and 30 degrees in the wintertime. When the spring comes out, the frost comes out, the roads, I don't want to be responsible for fixing roads, so we'll shut it down for 2 or 3 weeks until that frost is out of the ground. trying to clarify on that one a little bit better. But it is at certain times of the year, because in the springtime, the farmers don't want the compaction. So they're not going to allow 24-ton semi coming out there. Actually, it'd be 50 or 48-ton roughly, going out there and compacting the farm field, because they're not going to have a freeze-and-thaw method to bring the compaction back up. So we're pretty much always shut down in the springtime. And then when it comes to the fall, through the summer, we can't do anything because of the crops. And in the fall, like last fall, we were limited to 1 month of spreading because of we had a late season and then a late harvest. So it's the timing is what it comes to. And you can't move that much material in a couple months out of the year. It just can't happen.
So I think I'm more concerned with the traffic from clearing the lagoon and getting the material to that location.
From coming out of 13th Street?
Mm-hmm.
13th Street, we take out of there all the trucks are currently coming out of there and either going north on Dayton or south on Dayton, just depending on which ground we're going to. And we've been doing that over the last 6 years now. So the truck traffic wouldn't be any different than what you guys have seen lately. And my trucks are the ones with side dumps, and you can usually see the lime on it. It's whitish, yellowish material.
But if your normal is 20-some thousand tons annually, and you're looking at 100 to 150,000?
For the first year.
For the first year?
Yeah. The traffic will be a little bit more in the first year.
Well, it's four times more, but...
But that's if we took everything out there. And currently, we have taken 40,000 ton out already this year, every direction. Now, it hasn't caused any impact as far as I know. If we do happen to, carrying it out onto the road with the tires, we usually clean everything up at the end of the day. We try to limit that. We're trying to always keep every PR situated. Nobody's getting mad and having material in their car. But the lime won't hurt your car. It's just a matter of inconvenience. But we've been pretty good with cleaning up.
Okay. Thank you.
Seeing no other questions, is there anyone from the public that would like to address this? And you're welcome to step down, and you're welcome to come to the podium now and state your name and address.
My name is Dennis West. I'm at 2851 East 190th Street. Your names?
Where I live is right here. That's where that truck traffic is coming by.
They have to pull out and usually it's been taking the trucks out going back towards the interstate again. My question is, it kind of poses a danger right at the interstate, over the overpass there, for one thing. Another thing is, how big is this building that's supposed to be put up? How high is it supposed to be? And I see they have the berm built at least on the east side of this site already. And I don't know what the rest of that consists of, what they put where the berm is to do the drying, or what is the process of it? What is the solution of it? Are there fans or other equipment involved? That type of thing. So, a lot of questions for me, but what are the answers to those things?
Well, those are legitimate questions. You may step down, and would our applicant like to address some of those questions?
Scott Renault, Fox Engineering, 414 South 17th. I'm going to answer these questions. I think it's just a little bit about traffic and a little bit of input on how it's done. What they're doing is they're storing the lime sludge in the bermed area in a wet condition. That's not intended to dry it. And so when they want to dry it, they break it out on the pad, spread it out. And that's what the pictures show. And the reason I put the pictures in there as much as anything is it shows that really when they process this, there's no dust coming off of it. Because by the time, if it gets dusty, it's already too dry for him, and he probably doesn't want it dusty either, because when he holds it down the road, it creates mm-hmm. dust because he doesn't have covers on his truck. So that's why when he processes it, as soon as it's dry enough, then he puts it in the building, and then he'll be able to haul it out later. And so there's really no dust from the facility at all. But that's the general process, using sunlight and wind to dry it out, but not to the point where it gets dusty. And again, that's, you could see where they were churning up the material and the pictures there, and no dust came out of that. That wasn't the Wolf Cool process exactly, but it shows you how that worked a little bit. As far as the traffic goes, we talked about that a little bit. Again, he's got, this is all going out in the ag field, so a lot of this material has been going this direction already, and instead of stopping and turning in here, it just keeps going farther, and so it's really going the same direction. When you look at the traffic, we've got a right in condition going in, and then a left turn unloaded out. So, and as with any overpass, when you go over an overpass, you do have some sight distance issues, but generally those are all designed for the speed that's, if they're at the legally posted speed coming across there, they have plenty of stopping sight distance. So I don't see that as an issue. And then the building is 60 by 120, 16 or 18 foot high. I don't think he's actually ordered the building yet. No. Hasn't ordered the building yet, but just a typical farm shed type building, not anything particularly large. I guess I tried to answer all these questions, but unless you have anything else for me, that's all I have.
What pollution does it cause, really?
It doesn't really cause any pollution. It's actually a soil amendment. And so they're putting on the soil to adjust the pH. Even if there was some dust, that's like getting free soil amendment. They actually charge per acre for this, because it is it enhances the use of the fertilizer that's already on the ground. And I think it starts $10 an acre. $10 an acre for the material. So they actually get paid to put it on. So
there's no fans?
No fans, no noise other than just the trucks coming in and out. And then as they put the material on the pad, if they process it there a little bit, but there's no fans, nothing like that. Sun didn't win. Yeah, 1,300 feet. Is the front... Here, I'll stay on the mic here, but he's 1,300 feet away. The front parcel, you're going to continue to farm. So it'll just be a trail to the back, and then the area that's in front is going to remain farmable.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any commissioners have any further questions?
Okay, thank you.
I hope that answers some of your questions. If there's no further questions here, I would entertain a motion.
Motion that we follow alternative one, which is approving it with no additional conditions.
Do I have a second? Any further discussion? And we'll have roll call. Miller?
Yes.
Brothers?
Yes.
Donaldson?
Yes.
Couser?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Wendt?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes. Congratulations. We will move on to number 9, other business. Number 10, commission comments. Aaron, you have anything you want to?
Not.
Good here.
Good here.
Staff comments. I'll make them under long-range planning update. Okay, number 12, long-range planning update. I just want to share with the commission a couple actions on the part of the Board of Supervisors. First and foremost, last Tuesday, I'm going live to their website. They approved the first capital improvements plan for Story County. So that is, we've never had a capital improvements plan. That's quite a step forward, and it is on the website. You can look at it by just going to storycountyiowa.gov under your government and then Board of Supervisors, and there's a tab that says capital improvements plan, and it's downloading. It'll take a little bit. I'll just show it to you quickly so you have a sense. The way it was approached by the board and the task force of staff members, maybe I can't open it. There was a task force of staff members asked by the Board of Supervisors to look into this, and the way it was approached was really to keep it as simple as possible, especially as this is our first capital improvements plan. Four sections, obviously the cover page. Second page addresses the time frames and the process that were followed to set forth a capital improvements plan. If you look behind Aaron over there, the county strategic plan over the next couple of fiscal years, that developing a capital improvements program is on that strategic plan. And then the heart and soul of it is really the projects themselves. They're three-year projects. The CIP is for 5 years, but we've only gone out 3 years of projects. Five initial projects, and then so that's remainder of this current fiscal year. And then even going forth, like the Dakin's Lake will not be done yet this fiscal year, but that's the CIP year is the initial project. Year one is next fiscal year, year two, and year three. And then the last page is just pretty simply the definitions and terms of that were used. Capital assets and capital projects. Capital projects are those that are $25,000 or greater. So like the new motor grader lease program that you might have seen on the Tribune, in the Tribune last Friday, I think it was, that falls under the CIP. And so probably this June or July, the task force will be asked by the Board of Supervisors to start reaching out to departments, elected officials, get a sense of what the request will be for next fiscal year, and we start the process all over again. It seems simple, but this is a great step forward on the part of the board to have a CIP. So that's news one. News two, earlier in early February, the board approved a communications plan and outlined several strategies for Story County to implement, looking at several goals. And one is just to increase the means in which we provide information from Story County government to citizens. And that citizens that are involved in day-to-day, are not involved day-to-day to city clerks, township officials, that are involved in government operations. One of the first steps that we're taking is to bring back County News, which is an internal newsletter for staff, because we have not had that in place, I think, maybe even 9 years. It's been a while since we've had an internal newsletter. Last Friday, that first internal newsletter was released. And then in addition to that, there is a public newsletter. They actually have similar content. But the public newsletter is called Our Story. It was published last Friday as well. And there's on the website under Story County Spotlight, you can click here. There's two versions. There's the simplified four-page version that we hope will be published in a local paper that will go out to county residents here. This is published quarterly. This is a four-page, again, simple version. Page 1, 2, 3, 4. So everything from Dakin's Lake to updates from the county attorney to what the budget picture is in Story County to plat books available. There's a larger version that I am not going to try to open
because I think it will. I might just try. But Board of Supervisors, go to Our Story and do the one file version. And this is, I think, 18 pages. It first of all includes the State of the County address by Paul Toot. And that is a great look back at 2013. It's amazing what happened in 2013. But this includes the state of the county, everything that I previously showed you, but even things like Squaw Creek watershed planning underway that Penny mentioned earlier, upcoming events of conservation. They're looking at the towers that are on this building. A lot of people don't realize we have towers on this building that we're sitting in, replacing those. Our facade grant program applications. So everything really is in this. The other one's just a simplified version of it. This will be published quarterly, and I don't know that we'll be doing paper publications quarterly. I think this is our first issue we wanted to announce up there. But it will be published online. So this is actually a very positive first step. News or press releases will go out with the State of the County address later this week, and Mr. Toot will actually record the State of County address as a podcast. We'll get that to KHOI and other news entities that could play the podcast. Beyond that, we'll be involving you all. In the very foreseeable future, the Board of Supervisors did approve funding in our fiscal year 15 budget, so the one that starts in July, and funds this fiscal year, to do an RFP, request for proposals, to bring a consultant on board to help guide Story County in developing a comprehensive plan for all of Story County, not just unincorporated, but even working with communities. Our budget's going to be small. But I think it's a very necessary project, and I think it's going to be an intriguing project that hopefully we can get good consultants to respond to the RFP. And then prior to that, you'll be receiving a questionnaire here pretty soon in the next couple of weeks. We're working, Story County is working with the Institute for Decision Making out of UNI, University of Northern Iowa, to guide Story County, not just the government, in here, but Story County, so all the communities, school districts, whoever wants to, they're all going to be invited to the table. Whoever chooses to come to the table is being invited to participate in this visioning session. And that will be happening in March and April. And that will then set the foundation for the comprehensive planning. So it's a path that's going to be a very long path, 18 months, but it'll be an interesting journey. And we'll have you involved along the way, because ultimately you'll be asked to make a recommendation too on whatever planning documents come forward. I think that's it. We have a lot going on. Hi. Any follow-up on items recommended for the Board of Supervisors or the Board of Adjustment? I don't remember what your last meeting had. No, I don't think so. Cameron Farms, Cameron Estates preliminary plat was approved by the Board of Supervisors, the preliminary plat. We've not seen any finals come in yet. And those, of course, will just go right to the Board of Supervisors. But I think that was it.
Second.
Aye. Aye.